Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with All In.
And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given him of the Father. He said, this got to be a God connection. Y'all hear me? He said, you can't just because I look good, you like my striped jacket. God got to pull you together. God got to pull this thing together here. Except we'll give him the Father. And then verse 66, when Jesus peeped their whole car, when Jesus recognized y'all ain't fooling nobody. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He had just got finished getting a little deeper. He said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And they said, what kind of mess is this? They said, I ain't talking about my physical blood and my physical body. He said, the flesh profit nothing. He said, my body and my blood is the words that I speak to you. They are eternal life. He explained what he meant. It didn't matter because they wasn't all in. They were looking for something that he would say to give them a reason to leave. The Apostle Paul had people with him who weren't all in. 2 Timothy 4:10. He says, my team, I don't know what's going on here. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demons has forsaken me. Demons was with him. Why? Because he loved this present world. Demons wasn't all in. Now, we don't know all the story, but we know that he loved the present world, and he went to Thessalonica. Christians, I don't know what his story was, but he went to Galatia. Titus, I don't know where he was, but now he's gone to Dalmatia. There's people who are with you who ain't really with you. And you need to have the Spirit of God to discern the nature of relationships. You need to have the Spirit of God to discern the proximity of people to you. Just because you work with people don't mean they come over your house. Just because we all go to children's church together don't mean that I'm my child going over your house either. Everybody ain't all in. Time and circumstance will eventually expose and distinguish who is in and who's not all in. 1 John 2:19, John says, let me explain what's going on to here. He says, they went out from us. Because they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Oh my goodness. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That verse from New Living Translation says, these people, now I'm coming in, and I always, when I read this scripture, I always try to move it and take it beyond our church. Because I just thought if we really just talk about, as my Uncle Bishop Bailey said, Christendom or the body of Christ. But no, when you look at New Living Translation, it says this. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. When folks are all in, you work it out. When folks are all in, I get mad. I might even cuss at you. Not me, you. You. That's how y'all do. But after that, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Let's move on. Are you hearing me here? That verse from the Amplified, it says, they went out from our number, but they did not really belong to us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they withdrew that it might be made plain that what they were not, that they all are not of us. So you have to understand in relationships, in church, in companies, in business, everybody's not all in. Don't try to build with people in foundational positions who are not all in. This is good. I think Bishop Jakes explained this to me years ago. He said some people just scaffolding. The sound booth and everything we got there, that has pillars under it. Those pillars can't be moved. If those pillars are moved, all that comes down. That upper level, it all comes down. Because the pillars got to be all in. Because if you try to put a person who's not all in a foundational position, the whole thing can end up falling down. So it doesn't mean that it can't be used. Just be careful where you put them. Put them somewhere where you can easily be replaced. I'm glad you're here, but I realize you might leave. I'm really enjoying this date, but I know you ain't my husband. Appreciate the dinner, nice lights and all that. This real good steak. But I know you ain't all in, and I ain't about to be all in with you. But thanks for the steak. I found out that there are people who are scaffolding. Scaffolding is never part of the structure, permanent part. But scaffolding helped you get to where you need to get. Then the scaffolding's gone. When we started this ministry, y'all, I had a bunch of scaffolding. I thank God for that scaffolding. I had one sister, she was just as nice as she could be, and sweet and dignified and bougie as she could be. I couldn't pay nobody. I didn't have to use who I had. She was on my praise team, y'all. Y'all, praise team, she brought her own mic. I ain't making this up. She brought her own mic in the bag. And she had gloves on. And she took off her mic and my mic and she put her mic on. Okay? But that was all right. Because we just started. Folks who are not all in always see us and them. There were several other people. Okay? As a matter of fact, the Perrys came here from somebody who was with us, who wasn't with us. They wasn't all in, but they invited the Perrys. The Perrys got all in, and they went on about their business. See, you need to understand, everybody has purpose. Just understand, don't put them in a place where you are absolutely dependent upon somebody who's not all in. This ain't just about church. This is about your life. You better hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Five things to measure if you're all in. And I got to go. Number one, you have one heart. Acts 2:44-46 said the early church, they had one heart. They were together. They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods. They departed them to all men as men had need. They continued daily with one accord. Everybody say one accord. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness. Ate their meat with gladness. Don't fellowship if you're mad about fellowshipping. Pass the hot sauce. Any Kool-Aid. Just go about your business somewhere. You don't have to fellowship and eat your bread with us if you ain't going to eat it with gladness. Nobody has to feed you anyway. Excuse me, I'm sorry, y'all. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. One singleness of heart means they were unified in direction, unified in the vision. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, I want y'all to be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. It's not you and me and them, it's us, it's we. Joined together in the same mind. He said there should be no divisions among us. When you're all in, we speak the same thing. We're going in the same direction. Not only that, as I said earlier, you have to recognize those who are not all in and who start causing division. And I'm going to show you what the word says. See, some of us, we think because we're under grace now, we're in love, that we don't have standards and you don't mock people. But that's not what the Bible says. Because here in Romans 16:17-18, Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what? Avoid people. This is talking to church, y'all. There's some people you got to mark, and some people you got to avoid. And some people, in other words, you say, watch this. Here's the term we use. They messy. Any of y'all know any messy people? Come on now. You got to mock the messy people. You got to avoid the messy people. You got to mock the people always trying to cause division, always want to tell you, did you know somebody said something about you? Come on. And of course, see, if you're going to come to me and tell me what they said about me, my question is, what did you say to them when they said that about me? Don't just tell me what they said. Tell me what you said in response to what they said about me. Because if you said nothing and you're supposed to be in with me, then you ain't all in. I know y'all don't like this, but I told you over the years, loyalty takes sides. A friend and an enemy. That ain't no such thing as a friend and an enemy. We had our grandchildren with us the other day, and so I said to them, I said, who's your best friend? They were both standing in the bathroom brushing their teeth. I said, who's your best friend? And Lena started saying somebody, she started mentioning a few kids from children's church. My grandson started mentioning some other kids and DJ and this kid and that. And I said, y'all not each other's best friend. I said, y'all should be each other's best friend. And he said to me, how's she going to be my best friend when she do mean things to me? Pastor Mark said, well, he got that understanding early. See, because some of y'all got best friends who do mean things to you. And you talking about that's your best friend. My grandson, he's 6. Don't you get it twisted. How's she going to be my best friend when she do mean things to me? Y'all got these best friends who do mean things to you. They ain't all in. Ain't no such thing as a friend of me. You're a friend or enemy. Draw a line. Take a side. Number 2, when you're all in, it's not us. Or them. I said this earlier. It's just us. It's not you or me. It's we. In Acts 16, 9 and 10, the vision appears to Paul in the night. And here's the vision that Paul appears to Paul. He says, and there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, begged him, beseeched him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul saw the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord would call us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I don't know where they thought they were going the next day. I don't know what the plan was the next day. Maybe they were going to have the day off the next day. Maybe they were going to go to the beach the next day. Maybe they were going to go to the mountains the next day. Maybe they were just going to chill the next day. But overnight, Paul has a vision. Somebody called him, and when they get up, Paul says, I had this dream, I had this vision. We need to go to Macedonia. And they say, immediately, we endeavored. Endeavor means we put our shoulder to the wheel, and we endeavored. We did everything we had to do to make that vision come to pass. Because when you're all in, it's not his vision or their vision or the church's vision. It's our vision. Like I said, when people aren't all in, they have a problem with the vision. They have a problem with the pastor. They have a problem with the leader. They have a problem with the direction. Thirdly, when you're all in, you're unselfish. In other words, when you're all in, you realize it's not just about you. The Bible said about the early church, neither did they consider anything that they had just his own. I got it to be a blessing. I got it to be a blessing. I got it to be a blessing. Yeah. Because when you're all in, it's not just about you. Watch this. Here we go. When you're all in, you're willing to be inconvenienced. Watch people who are never willing to be inconvenienced for you. Come on now. I have a friend. Well, I had a friend. There was one time I was inconvenienced for him, inconvenienced for me. And then a couple years ago, I was in a particular town, and he was around the corner. I said, listen, I'm over here having dinner with so-and-so. He said, I'm busy. I got to prepare for a meeting tonight. Right away, I knew something had shifted. Come on now. He didn't say nothing. But right away, I knew something had shifted because now I'm an inconvenience. When you're all in with a friend, all in with a church, all in with your family, you are willing to be inconvenienced. When people are all into the church, they show up early, leave late, anything else I can do, When's next service? When they ain't all in anymore, talk to them, how many servants do we need to have? How long is direction for life? The morning and the night? That's a shift. You're not all in anymore. Come on, you gotta judge your heart. You're unselfish. Philippians 2:2-5, it says, fulfill ye my joy, be like-minded, that ye be like-minded. Paul said, think like me. Have the same love. Be of one accord and of one mind. Look at this. Verse 3 said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He said, don't do anything just because you're trying to outdo somebody else or to bring attention to yourself. Isn't that a good thing that we got to judge ourselves by? I can't do this just because I'm trying to outshine you. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do better than you. Or for vainglory, just to make yourself look bigger and brighter. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Then he says, look not every man on his own thing. Don't just be concerned about yourself, but every man also on the things of others. Then he summarizes that. He said, let this mind, let this kind of thinking, let this kind of attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he demonstrates. Then he goes on to say how Jesus did it, because he considered himself not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. When you're all in, you serve people. It's not just about you and what's comfortable for you. Ananias and Sapphira weren't all in because they were selfish. And then they lied about being selfish. I often think about that scripture because, I mean, really, people tell me when they want to ask this one, that one. I do want to, one day after I got used to heaven, okay, when I can chill a little bit, I walk down to Peter's mansion and say, Peter, can I talk to you about it? There was always something on my mind. Ananias and Sapphira, why you do that to them? Specifically Sapphira, because, both of them. Ananias calls Ananias. He said, Ananias, is this how much you sold that property for? Now, he already knew that wasn't how much he sold the property for. Ananias said, yeah. He said, you lie, pants on fire. Going to be more than your pants on fire. Then he says to Sapphira, she comes in, Apostle Peter, you see my husband? He told me to come down here for a meeting at the church with you. She said, yeah, before Tim, but that land y'all had, is that what you sold it for? She said, yeah, that's what. He said, how is y'all agreed to lie? And you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. And the reason why I always often say it, because Peter already knew. And then I always say, well, why did he set him up like that? And as I was just saying, talking about this with someone this week, and then I realized this, Peter was still giving them an opportunity to repent. Can I tell you something? Before there's ever judgment, there's always room to repent. Before there's tragedy, there's room to repent. Because now God is still a God of judgment. But he says my anger will only last for a moment. But my favor is for life. Are y'all with me here? And so he loves us more than he's ever been mad at you. Amen. His mercy endures forever. So God's always going to leave you room to repent. So when you're all in, you're unselfish. Number four, when you're all in, you're generous. What's the opposite of in other words, when you're generous, that means you're not cheap and you're not stingy. Look down your row. Ask your neighbor. Pastor ain't talking about you, is he? He ain't talking about you. Ask them if they're offended right now. Ask them if they're offended. They there mumbling and rolling their eyes and all this kind of stuff. They just might be cheap and they might be stingy. When you're all in, you're not cheap. You're not stingy. So Jesus says in Luke 12:33-34, he said, listen, this is how you show you're all in. He said, sell what you have. Give alms. That means give. Provide for yourself bags which wax not old. He said, make sure you're constantly putting stuff in your heavenly account. So when this earthly account drive up, you still got something to withdraw from God's riches and glory. He said a treasure in heaven that fails not, where thief doesn't approach and moth can't corrupt it. He said, because where your treasure is, there your heart is. When you're all in, your treasure and your heart lines up. When you're all in, your money goes to what you say is important to you. It lines up. Now, y'all know Judas wasn't all in, right? I mentioned Judas earlier, but I want you to see this here. Here's signs that Judas wasn't all in. Long before they ever convinced him to sell Jesus for the 30 pieces of silver in John 12. The reason why I go to John, because I believe Mark and Luke, or either Mark, one of the gospels, one of the synoptic gospels leaves it out. But I believe Matthew and Mark both tell this story. But Matthew and Mark try to be politically correct. They said, and one of them said such and such. John named names. John kicked butt and took names. John said this, y'all ain't going to ever have to wonder if it was me, because I will tell you exactly who it is. I like people like that. Don't come tell me, Pastor, somebody said, who said it? There are some people here. Don't give me no some people here, because what you sound like now to me, I'm trying to help y'all here. You're trying to protect them. And if you're trying to protect them, then there may be more loyalty to them than there is to me. I'm just showing you how this thing works. Because if your loyalty is to me, give me a name so we can deal with the thing. Mm-hmm. So John tells a story that Mary, Jesus is there, he's eating with his disciples, and Mary comes in and she takes this pound of ointment, spikenard. The Bible said very costly, it was expensive. She anointed the feet of Jesus, started wiping his feet with his hair, and the house was filled with this aroma from this expensive oil. Then said one of his disciples, it looked like John first wasn't going to mention me. Then said, I'm going to tell you who it is. Judas Iscariot. I want you to know which one it is. Simon's son. That one. Don't get it twisted. The one who was going to betray him later. And he said, why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 pence? That's about a year's wages, and given to the poor. This he said, verse 6, not because he cared for the poor. Sometimes you gotta question people's motives for saying what they say. What they're saying many times is not the issue. The issue, what's motivating them to say that? And said, so this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was a God robber. He was a thief, and he had the bag, the treasury bag, and bear or was stealing or embezzling what was in it. How many of y'all know Jesus had some money in his ministry? Ain't no way you can have somebody embezzling you for 3 years and not miss it, and all you got is 75 cents. That shows they had significant money. Judas was stealing for 3 years. He was the treasurer. Let my words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Can somebody say I'm all in?
All in.
See, people used to talk about this thing, straddling the fence. I found out straddling the fence can hurt. Y'all get that later. I made up my mind I'm going to be all in. When I went full-time in ministry, God told me, I need you to be all in. He said, I don't want you to do anything else but ministry. I want you to be all in. When Jesus first sent his disciples out, he said, I don't want you to take coat nor strip nor anything. I want you to be all in. He said, go where I freely you have received, freely give. He said, go here, go there, preach the gospel. He said, and if they don't receive you, just shake the dust off your feet. No, because you're all in, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. And there are many of you today who need to make the decision. I'm going to be all in with my relationship with God. Come on, stand with me today.
Order this powerful series today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for All In.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.